in this bad weather? In cold? Let's pray. What was that, the Ravenna route? How'd our Wyndham route do? Who's got the Wyndham route for me? Eight, that's great. Tremendous. Let's give our bus workers a great hand. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for them buses. You that work in the bus routes, God bless you. Keep up the good work. It's an important ministry. Personally, I think it's one of the most important ministries that this church does. By the way, when I was a young kid, I used to work the bus routes. I was a bus captain. Once in a while, I even drive buses until I hit too many cars, and they thought I'd be a better bus captain. But it's a thankless job. You don't get thanked for it. Nobody even knows you're out there on Saturday early and knocking on doors and in the cold. And then you come here early on Sunday morning. You're the first ones. The bus people are the first ones to get here and the last ones to leave. They get here about 7:30, quarter of 8. And they probably get back around 1:30, 1 o'clock, somewhere 2 o'clock. And so thank God for those that work the bus routes. When you get to heaven, you're going to be glad you did it. And all those people that you brought on the buses that trusted Christ as their Savior, I know it's a hassle sometimes. I know it's hard sometimes. And it, by the way, those buses don't have nice warm heaters like our cars do. It's cold. I remember that when I was a bus captain in Toledo, I remember my feet would get so cold. Sometimes they feel like my feet were so frozen, they were like a popsicle. You could just pop them right off, you know. I mean, those that know what I'm talking about. I mean, Eddie, there was days I couldn't even feel them. I'm not kidding. I could not. They were frostbite. Yeah, amen. But thank God for those bus routes. Thank you for giving to the bus ministry, those that give to help us buy buses. And just keep it up till Jesus comes. Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. Glad you're here. I mentioned earlier that Brother Robbie Morrison will be with us Wednesday. He will be starting our Faith Promise Missions Conference. I'm going to preach on missions this morning. I'm going to kick it off before Robbie gets here. How about that? And I just wrote a few things down. I hope I can tug at your heartstrings. And hey, Steve, you got a precious baby there. She's pretty precious, ain't she? Yeah. She's sleeping. Hope preacher don't wake her up. Amen. What I like about these ladies that come to our church, they become with child. They're not pregnant. They're with child. Read the Bible. It says they're with child. Amen. And see, if you wouldn't have pregnancies, if you had children in there, when they abort the children, then you'd say, you didn't abort a pregnancy, you aborted a living child. Amen. It's murder. And can you imagine the ladies that have babies in this church? Every week that baby's inside, and that baby can hear. Can they hear? Can you imagine hearing that old man screaming, yelling, spitting? Well, you can't see me spitting, but they can hear me yelling, amen? So when they come out, they're not shell-shocked. Oh, I've been hearing that guy for 9 months anyways. Matter of fact, they could go home with mom and say, what's wrong with the preacher today? He didn't have too much. He wasn't even doing nothing. But, all right, Acts chapter 1. I want to give you a thought. Why Faith Promise Missions? Why do we have Faith Promise Missions? Tito Mel, I want you and your family to sing a couple songs at the You Are Love Banquet, okay? Do at least two. And we've got Rob and Debbie lined up too. And so you don't. It's such a great, it's singing and laughing and carrying on and eating and fun. We're having fun to our day. It takes our T-Bird away. And you can tell how old I am, huh? But anyways, the young people don't know what I'm talking about. That's an old statement. And all right, let's stand for Acts chapter 1. Glad you're here. Good to see you, kids. See, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what God's going to do with these kids. All those kids with Jemuel, they might become tremendous for God. You never know what God's going to do with them. Marlena has a birthday today. She rode the buses when she was younger. Came in on the van, I think. And this young man, he's here every Sunday. Lance. And I'm hoping someday, how old are you now, Lance? 14. Wow. Always, kid always dresses sharp. And, you don't know. This might be a young man that God calls to preach in the future. He won't be wearing that mohawk, but you know, but he might. You never know. And so, Jordan's got a mohawk. You just can't see it, you know. I sure do love you. I'm glad I'm back. Amen. By the way, the deacons, Danny, we are looking into the bus garage. The deacons were 100% for it. Pastor Dave's, we're not going to bring anything back to church till we know we can do it. He's getting hold of that building zoning man, and but I'll give you more information as we do it. But we are going forward until we get stopped. Amen. I think we're looking at a 50 by 80. I think that's been our cost range, 50 by 80, and it'll be a bus garage we put out there in the land. We're going to want four doors on the front, like four bays, and we're excited about it, and I'll keep you informed. Right now, we're just going through all the procedures of trying to be able to do it. It's amazing. You can't do nothing now unless they tell you. You know, Mother, may I? Yes, you may. You know. Okay. Preacher's really wound up today. Look at verse 1. How many got Acts chapter 1, verse 1? Amen. We're going to, why faith promised missions. We're going to talk about that today. The former triste, and that word triste means like a written letter or composition or a little track. Former tristes I have made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach unto the day in which he was taken up, after though he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now look at this, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passions by many infallible proofs. Jesus rose from the grave beyond shadow of doubt. Being seen of them 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Even after Christ arose, he walked on this earth 40 days. Corinthians says, 15 says, at one time over 500 people saw Jesus at one time. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And by the way, the moment you got saved, you got the Holy Ghost. I was reading in the book of Luke, when Simeon, when they brought Christ in as a baby, said that the Holy Ghost was upon him. See, in the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost was upon people. Now we have it indwelling. There's a difference from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Pastor Dave's teaching on the Holy Ghost. He'll probably get into that if he's not got into it yet. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. By the way, nobody knows when Christ is coming back, only God the Father. Even Jesus don't know. Isn't that something? Now listen to me. He's coming back. Now I know there's a lot of kooks out there that say a lot of stupid things and it hurts Christianity. Just stay with your old King James Bible. Look at verse 8, my text verse. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea in Samaria, in the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them, two men in white apparel. Those are angels. Can I always say something to you, not to get you ladies mad at me? Angels are always in the male gender. There are no, I don't want to make you mad, you got pictures hanging on the walls, but there's no women angels. I'm not being a chauvinist. Angels are men. Okay, I better not get in it. I know. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up gazing into heaven? Eddie, we'd be standing up. Huh? Hey, Lizzie, huh? Yeah. Little Eddie, Where's Jimbo at? I don't see Jimmy today. Oh, hi, Jim. Jimmy's going, hey. Watching Jesus go up. Which you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing in heaven? Look at that verse. I'm all done. I'm done reading the Word of God. Boy, somebody said, man, he's really reformed. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, look what, let's read it together. Shall so come. Say it again. Shall so come. Say it again. In like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He went up, but he's coming back. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart you'll help me preach today. Thank you for the sweet spirit in the church. Lord, this is a wonderful church. I'm so blessed. Thank you for their love for one another. Thank you for their love for you. And Father, help me now to pour my heart out to these people about Faith Promise Missions. Oh, the importance of getting the Word of God out to the whole world, not just the United States, but the whole world. Father, help us see the importance of Faith Promise Missions. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This Wednesday, we will begin our Faith Promise Missions Conference for 2013, and it's so vital and important that, listen to me, don't miss. Well, I'm not going to come preach, it's a missions conference. No, that's one of the greatest things you'll ever see. There'll be special singing. Robbie Morrison's a phenomenal preacher. He's powerful. He's got the hand of God on him. And come, don't miss. Come to every service for this Faith Promise Missions. Listen, Jesus died for all the people of the world. Let me just stay right there. I'm going to just quote to you Galatians 4:4-6. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God had sent forth the Spirit of a Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, or Daddy, Daddy. I'm so glad. Preacher, years ago, when I was 20 years old, I asked Christ to save me. And then about a year later, as a matter of fact, I was thinking about it the other day, on my birthday, March 22nd, when I was 21 years old, it was a Wednesday night, our preacher was out of town. One of the lay preachers were preaching. Joe Helka, we had a couple of lay preachers, Ken Snyder and Joe Helka. And I remember as he preached, God just spoke to my heart. And I started crying. My mom was there that night. A big thing for me on a Wednesday night for my mom to come. She wasn't saved yet. And I went down forward and I surrendered to preach the gospel on my 21st birthday. And I'm 60 something old now. And so, been at it for over 40 years, 40 some years now, Billy. 43 years right in there. I'm going towards 43 years preaching the Word of God. I want you young people to listen to me. I'm so glad. I'm so glad I used my life for Christ. I remember when I was just young like you. Loved to play baseball. Had visions of being a professional baseball player, to be honest with you. Then alcohol got my life and wrecked it. But God had a plan anyways for me. But I want you young people to listen to me. I want you to really listen to what preacher says today. You're the hope for America. Us older folks, now I'm not putting this in the grave yet, but if the Lord doesn't come back, we won't be around, and these kids will still be here. And Brother Coolidge, they're the ones that's going to have to carry the cross. And they're the ones, you young singles and stuff, you're the one that's going to have to take a stand. You're the one that's going to have to keep the lights on. Not just these lights, the spiritual light of the world. Listen, it's important that we see the importance of getting the gospel out, not just to the people in our city, not just to Kent, not just to Windham, not just to Ravenna, not just to Ridgetown, not just to these outlying areas. It's important that we get the word of God out to the whole world. Now look at verse 8, and that's my text verse, Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power. This is talking to the first church, and they did. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down, and God from then on indwelled every believer. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, that's your hometown, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost, not just to the cities around you, but I want you to go to the whole world. He told that the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem, Christ gave him that command right then. Now I noticed some things. Listen, Jesus died for all the people of the world, not just America. Jesus wants all people of the world to be saved. Let me quote you a second. Let me just quote some scriptures. You can write these down if you're taking notes. Second, say this. Jesus wants all the world to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 says this. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. His promise is, if you come to me, I'll give you everlasting life. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Yeah, a lot of times you guys are out there in your buses, they laugh at you. You're out there, you people are going on Saturday visitation, they laugh at you. Some people don't count God's promise very good. They count it with slackness. But I'm going to tell you, it's not slack, it's real. For the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. I'm glad He is long-suffering, because everybody would have got killed before they got saved. But is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish. Not one. God doesn't want one person to go to hell. Not one. But that they all should come to repentance. Repent and trust Christ as Savior. I preached on repentance about a week ago, I think. And so, God's promise is real. Heaven's real. Eternal salvation through Jesus is real. And I'm going to tell you, God wants to all whole. You know what? Look up here. We're Americans. We're fundamental Baptists. We take for granted everything that's handed down to us. I was fortunate that I met Rosie, and her mom and dad were fundamental Baptists, and they took me to hear the Word of God, and I heard old-time preaching, hell and fire, brimstone, and I heard all kinds of great truth about the Word of God and about Christ. And Coolidge, I was lucky. I didn't get in some upside-down, stupid Boston cooler church. You know, Boston, what do you call that donut I like down there? Boston. I didn't get no Boston cream church. I got the real thing. And Bobby, I was just thinking about one of those Boston creams. I had one last week. I got a donut from, had a coupon on the 28th of last. I got a donut and an extra large coffee, Dunkin', plus my stamp card, my card stamp. For 99 cents. That's only 50, about 50 cents a piece. What's that got to do with you? Nothing. But I was thinking about it. It sounds pretty good to me. Might run down here after church, Jack. Now listen to me. God wants all the world to be saved, even Dunkin' Donut people like me. Let me give you some thought. I've always say this. I'd rather be dead than red. That means I don't want to be communist. Red. But God wants Russian people to be saved as much as he wants American people to be saved. God wants the Chinese people to be saved as much as he wants my dear Filipinos to be saved. Listen, God is no respecter of persons. He loves all the world. No one barred. That's why John 3:16, the famous, for God so loved the what? Yeah. He wants people in Poland to be saved. Man, when I went over to Germany, several years ago, five, six, seven, right in there. We helped establish a Bethel Baptist Church in Stuttgart, Germany. Brother Harold Pierce is not there no more, but we helped. And I passed out tracts and went and witnessed to people. And I'm going to tell you right now, those people in Germany, they need the Lord. Boy, I'll tell you, Josh, I heard about people saying they were glad to get back to America. The people in Germany, they don't want to hear it. Matter of fact, most of them don't even know who God is. And they don't care, Eddie. I remember when I getting back after, and I was glad I went, and I'm glad I got to witness to some people. And my brother Harold said one of the families that I did witness to, they actually came and became part of the church. One of the servicemen there, we met them at Burger King. They actually got Burger King in Germany. They have McDonald's too. Yeah. They have German burgers. But kidding. Yep, Germany. Good place not to be. Anyways, especially when Hitler was in it. But Brother Nowak, we drove up to, I could feel the power of darkness, the coldness in some of those places. You cannot, folks, you don't know. I'm telling you, when you take God out, Johnny, when you take God out of a society, it's scary. It's scary. And I was, Jim, well, when I got back home, I mean, I was thrilled that I got to go and witness in another foreign country. But I preached in that country, too. I preached in one of the churches, Baptist churches there. And had people come forward. But I'll tell you right now, preacher, as bad as America is a paradise compared to those communist bloc countries. Trust me. That's why you need to pray for those missionaries, because they're having a hard time. Amen? Now listen, Jesus commands us to take the gospel to all the world. In Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Listen, he wants everyone in the world to hear the word of God. Not just Wyndham, not just Ravenna. I mean, we get caught up and we go door to door, and that's great. We're going to keep doing that till the Lord comes back. But it's more than just America being saved. God wants all the people to be saved. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Jesus knew that all the world was lost in their sins and doomed to go to hell. Hell's real. Look up here. The people that die in Germany without Christ go to the same place the Americans go when they die without Christ. They go to hell. Hell is real. Listen, we need to keep this deep in our heart. Hell, say this, hell is real. Say it again. Hell is real. I'm going to tell you right now, it needs to get down deep in our soul. It needs to be like the Bible talks about, being in our conscience. So every time we go somewhere, when we look at people, we see them as eternal living beings. Not just people for a time. No, every one of you here are going to live forever. Every one of you were born with an eternal soul. There was a time that you did not live. There was a time that you did not exist. But since you've been born, there'll never be a time that you cease to exist. Death is only a gateway to eternity. And what you do with Jesus Christ determines where you spend eternity. And it's eternal. And so hell is real. Hell is real. And people that don't die without Christ, and by the way, the majority of the people are dying without Christ. Bobby, tonight at that football game down there in New Orleans, there'll be millions of people watching it. There's millions down there right now. And I often wonder if the rapture would happen during the football game, Brother Mike, how many empty seats would there be? I don't think there'd be many. I think there'd be the majority would be sitting there, and only a small minority few would be going up. That's sad. Isn't that amazing? Now, I'm excited. Rosie went out and got, she went and got soda pop for the kids, and we got Chex Mix, and we got all kinds of junk for tonight. You know, hey, I'm going to tell you, I'm going in style when I watch that game. probably order pizza. But I'm going to tell you something. What we ought to be concerned about is all those people dying without Christ. I would love to be a guy. I wish I could be a guy to stand out in front of the football stadium, take about 1,000 tracks with me, and have 10 people with me, have 10,000 tracks, and give people tracks as they go in. I would love to get in half. We turned the game off during halftime. Never watched the halftime. They're so wicked. I would love to have the opportunity, Eddie, to go on that platform that they put on the middle of that football stadium and preach the gospel for 30 minutes, even 20 minutes. Wouldn't that be exciting? Give an invitation. Fill the field up with people getting saved. That'd be exciting. Man, what a way to draw a crowd, amen? And they paid to come and hear it. They'd probably shoot me. Listen, Jesus came from heaven to sacrifice himself so we could all be saved. I know you know what I'm saying. But you know what? It's something like this. It becomes old hat. Yeah, we know it. But does it really motivate the actions of our life? You know, you can know stuff, but if you don't apply it, it doesn't mean nothing. Listen, Hebrews 2:9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." There's not a person in this building right now that Jesus didn't taste death for. Lance, Jesus tasted death for you. He tasted for me. He tasted for Bobby and Jamie. Eddie, I mean, you name your... There's not one person here that Jesus didn't taste death for. And he became lower than the angels. Remember, he's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He had to make himself of no reputation. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Listen, Jesus was the greatest missionary that ever was. Think about it. Jesus traveled farther to reach lost souls than any missionary ever have. What do you mean, preacher? Jesus came from heaven. Jesus. Look, Jackie, I know we got people in Philippines and in different countries, South America, Africa, you know, you name it. But I'm going to tell you right now, no one ever traveled as far as Jesus. Of all the missionaries, Jesus traveled all the way. Think with me. I'm going to just give you some thoughts. No missionary ever traveled farther and cared more than Christ Jesus. Jesus cared more than any other missionary that ever cared for one soul. And also, Jesus paid the ultimate price that no missionary ever could pay or would pay. He gave himself. I'm going to read this scripture to you. It's 2 Corinthians 8:9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus went bankrupt so we could have life. He died so you and I could live. He took and look up here. Every one of our sins that we ever commit in our whole life, he took every one on the cross with him. That's a lot, Lizzie. When you think about all humanity. He took every sin of every person. And there, no wonder he cried out, my God, why has thou forsaken me? God had to, because Jesus had to bear the sins of all the world so we could have a sin bearer, a savior. Amen? Billy, and bus kids, you bought preacher this Bible, and I've been preaching it since this year started. And all through this Bible, I'm going to try to have Rosie get a few of these Bibles. It has on every other page or so, it has a footnote and stuff. And I should have put a marker. I'm looking for Mark 15. Talks about how missions first started. There's so much great truth in this Bible, Josh. Talks about the haystack prayer meeting. And back in 1806, there was five college students from Williams College, five of them. And they, every week they'd go out and pray twice a week, Jordan. One time they'd pray in the field, and another prayer they'd pray. Some, but one day without praying, and they it started to rain, so they ran into a barn, and they prayed there. And they kept praying every week like you do, Mike. And they kept praying that Christianity could be sent abroad. I want you to think about this. And in 1808, that prayer group and other Williams students formed what they called the Brethren. And then Adoniram, how many of you ever heard of Adoniram Johnson? He was our first missionary sent to Asia from America. How many are still with me? In 1812, we sent our first missionary from America. Now think with me. We became a nation. Now I want you to listen to me. We became a nation in 1776. And in 1812, only 36 years later, whatever how many years that is, I wrote it down here. Whatever, you do your math. I think it's 36 years. 36 years. From 1776 to 1812, I think it's 36 years. Our country is only 36 years old, Eddie. And America started sending out missionaries to the world for Christ. How many are still with me? I say this all the time to you. I know I repeat it, but I want you never to forget it. I believe there's, Billy, there's three reasons why God has blessed America. Three reasons why God's blessed America. Number one, America's always been a friend to Israel. He told Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 1 and 2, Abraham, I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. America's always been a friend to Israel. God has blessed. America's not great. America's been blessed by God. I think America's great, but our greatness comes from God. It don't come from America. It comes from a God that's blessed America. America's greatness stems from the God Almighty, the Creator. Second reason I believe God's blessed America, we've been a friend of Israel, but not that, we preach the gospel. America's been preaching the gospel and sending missionaries all around the world since 1812. Hello? Look up here. No other country has ever sent out as many missionaries to the world than America. We have Filipinos in here, and our members, faithful members. And if you listen to them, now, some of the kids were born here in America, but the parents, they were born in the Philippines. And they heard the word of God, and they got saved in the Philippines. And guess who preached to them? American missionaries. Now, the Philippines has grown up so powerful that God's raised up an army of Filipino preachers. And they're sweeping, they're not sweeping just the Philippines, they're sweeping all Asia. Those God raised up those Filipino missionaries, which the Baptist preachers went over and trained and won them to Christ. And now you're reaching the world to another country, to the missionaries of the Filipinos. That ought to get you excited, man. I want to shout every day about that. And I'm glad we have part of it, Brother Jack. We always were blessed because of our friendship with Israel. We're blessed because we preach the gospel to the whole world. And we're blessed, number three, by God, because we publish, we print, we put forth, we give out Bibles. I see Bobby there, man. Bearing Precious Seed, Track Leg, Fellowship. We America, no country, look up here, no country's ever given out more than we have, Billy. America has been rich, but the reason it's been rich, because it's been rich in the Word of God. It's God's Word that brought down riches to us. Am I making sense to anybody? Listen, get this truth. We need to give, I'm almost done. We need to give Faith Promise missions so we can help support sending missionaries all over the world, because people still need to hear about Jesus. Listen, the world's dying and going to hell. And unless we get missionaries out there, they're not going to be reached. And we need to do all we can while we can to reach the lost. And that spells missions. Time's running out. Jesus is coming back soon. Let me read this scripture to you. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. Why don't they have the knowledge of God? Because we're not getting it out to them. We are not getting the job done because we are not focused on reaching the lost. Look up here, Bethel. This is a good church. You lucky. You kids are in an above average church. This is an above average fundamental church. And we still have our shortfall. I have my shortcomings. Hello? Are you still with me? Lizzie, I'm telling you right now, the fundamental Baptist churches are failing. We're failing today to get the Word of God out. We're failing to get it out to our cities that we live in. We're failing to get it out to outlying areas. And we're failing. Well, look, most of your missionaries are dying and coming off the field. And not, by the way, there's not many young men replacing them. And Brother Mike, even when God does raise up a young man, boy, I'm hoping God raises up to a young group here someday for us. Then Brother Coolidge, they got to spend 3 to 4 years on deputation trying to raise just enough money to get to the field. And while they're not getting to the field, Brother Brian, multi-millions and millions and millions and millions of people are dying without hearing the Word of God. They're dying and going to hell. They're dying and perishing because Americans don't care anymore. Christians don't care anymore. We don't care no more. Hello. I love missions. I love missionaries. And I know that's the heart of God. The heart of God's the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave. I'm going to encourage you to give to missions. Like I gave it to those little boys and little kids. But maybe they can give a quarter a week. Hey, every penny counts for the missions. Listen to me. Jesus said, I speak this to your shame. We're not getting the job done. Note 1 John 2:28. I can quote that, but I'll read it to you. 1 John 2:28, it says, abide in me, so when I appear, you won't be ashamed of his coming. Now, little children, abide in him. 1 John, my hands are, it's hard to have me move, my fingers are. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Eddie, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be ashamed, Christians, because they didn't run the bus routes, they didn't go out in visitation, they never passed the tract, they never gave, they never did one thing for missions, they never did anything to help bring anyone else to Christ. I'm going to tell you, when Christ comes back, we're going to give an account how we served him. We're going to give an account how we led our life. And that's the truth, ain't it, Mike? And we all fall short. Now, I'm all done. Let me read these things. And I'm going to beg you young people to listen to the preacher. Don't quit on God. It says, abide in him in first. Don't quit on God. Give him all you got to give. Let me come down with you guys. It's a bummer getting old. I want you young people, I want you to hear the preacher today. I want you older people to hear me too. But I really want the young people and you young couples. Abide in him. So when he comes, you'll have confidence. You won't be ashamed. I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm not trying to scare you, but I believe we got some days ahead of us, son. I don't know if preacher will be here. I'm hoping that I'm going to take this church right to the rapture. I'll kick and spit until, if I have to preach out of a wheelchair, I'll do it. I'll get me a remote one that I can do wheelies in, you know. But I'm going to tell you something, Tippy, Brooke, and Rose. I call you Rose. Grandpa calls you Rose. If the Lord doesn't come back soon, everything's going to be in your lap. Michael, everything's going to count on you. If the Lord doesn't come back in the next 20 years, even the next probably 10 years for me, I'll be gone. But you'll be here, son. If you don't get stupid and getting drugs and stuff, I know you won't ever do that, will you? Josh will beat the fire out, be done. I'd worry more about who's sitting next to him than Josh. She'll rip your ears right off. Pull your nose. The little Three Stooges. Listen to me. I'm so proud of you kids serving God. Austin and Jimmy and Autumn. Preachers watched you grow up as little kids. Stay with the stuff. Stay with it till you turn gray like preacher. And know God. Know God. Read your Bible and study your Bible and learn of the scriptures and learn of Him and walk with Him and avoid the stuff from the evil world and don't let the world wreck your life and stay separated under Christ, because I'm going to tell you something. The time's coming when the world's not going to open with arms. We're lucky now. We've got freedom to preach. There's a time coming, I believe with all my heart, that they will try to close the doors of Bethel Baptist Church. And there might be, like you young people, and I'm not trying to scare you, but Ruthie, they might get back to like the first churches when they meet in little groups and houses and stuff, just underground. But you need to say, no matter what, I'm going to stay in it for Christ. I'll not turn back. I'll not give up. I'll not let the world have. I'm going to preach Christ till I die. And I'm going to take that wonderful gospel that Jesus loves us and died for us and was buried and the third day arose, just like the scripture says. And I'm going to take that gospel and tell people they can have all their sins forgiven, eternal life in heaven forever and ever. I'm going to tell it to the day I have no more breath in me. And we need, Sister Young, we're the old veterans. Look at Nowalk here, an old veteran. Someday this old gray hairs ain't going to be here. Amen. And then it's going to be you kids' turn. I'm not trying to scare you. Some of you boys are going to have to be preachers. You hear me, son? Some of you boys are going to need preachers. We need some boys with spit in them. You say, I like ornery boys. I think they got spit in them. I think it's good. Be ornery like Sean. It's good. Didn't hurt him much. You young people, I'm looking at you young couples. Brian and Megan. There'll be a day if Jesus don't come, me and Johnny won't be here. Brother Bobby, he's our missionary. He's put his time in. Me and Bobby, we're getting ready for the Lord to call us. But one day you kids are going to have to be the torchbearers. You're going to have to make sure that the Word of God. See, preacher's putting the pressure on you. Boy, this kid put the pressure on me the other day. Man, he like to made me cry. I'm putting a spiritual pressure on you this morning. I'm counting on you kids to keep the light up when the old people are gone. I'm counting on you to say, we're going to pick up that King James Bible and we're going to keep preaching it and keep telling the world Christ loves them. We need a younger generation along with this older generation, Bobby, like your two little girls. We need a generation of those young girls, and I know they are sold out for Christ, because I'm going to tell you right now, there might be a day when they won't let us. And what are you going to do when the preacher's gone? You're going to have to stand up for Christ. I'm saying this to you. I'm planning on being here with you. I'm not planning on kicking the bucket. But if the bucket kicks me, I'm telling you, I want you to stay with the stuff. Listen to me. The hope for America is you people, hearts. God, I'm giving you my whole life. When I was 21 years old, Lance, when I was 21, I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible. And preacher was a street kid. I've been anywhere you went, I've been there. I've said what they've said and done what they've done. I'm not proud of it. But that's where I came from. I came from the back alley streets. Oh, I'm glad I'm saved. Glad, Marty, I'm glad God called me out of that darkness into light. And I'm glad I sold my life out for Christ. I've been in church all my life since 21 years old. Man, that's exciting. Here I am. Boy, you got to see me. Now, I had a little bit of a hairdo than you, but had more hair. Boy, this is, that's real. You know what that reminds me of? One of them Bob Wire, those, where you sand that. Was that thing sand? Wow. Listen to me. Hey, you could do a shoe shine on that. Listen to me. Billy, every one of us, young and old, we need to commit our hearts. Yeah. Pastor Dave Tom, we're not committed enough. We aren't, are we, Mac? We go with the flow if it works for us. I'm trying to tell you young people ahead of time, you're going to be challenged. If the Lord doesn't come back in the future, you're going to be challenged. And you're going to have some spiritual conviction to stay with the stuff. Listen to me. Christ died for the whole world. How many believe God, Christ wants people in Europe to be saved? Christ wants people in Asia to be saved? How many believe God wants people in Africa to be saved? Okay. I'm going to tell you what I told the kids the other day. We've got to raise money this year for missions. The good thing is we've got the money. The bad thing is it's in your pocket. And I got to get you, no, not me, the Holy Spirit, for those that are saved. The Holy Spirit's got to come down, Mike, and give you conviction. This could be the last year. This could be the last month. I'm going to give so that man can go to Brazil. I'm going to give so that man can go to Africa. I'm going to give so these men can go to China, and they can go to Germany, and they can go, because I'm going to tell you, the whole world needs to hear about the gospel. And folks, they're not hearing it. And what's bad, Brother Danny? Christians don't care. When you see the lost depravity of these European countries, I was there. They have no concern for the gospel at all. None. It's scary. We need to be sending missionaries. Some of you young people today, you need to dedicate your life to Christ. Say, God, I'm never going to turn on you. I'm going to stay with you till the day I die. Some of you need to pray about, maybe God would want you to be a missionary. Maybe God would call some of you to be a missionary. When you get older, you could go out to a foreign field. But you need to be thinking about that. Don't worry about somebody. Think, what would God want you to do? I know there's college and everything. But Austin, what does God really want you to do? Jimmy, what does God really want you to do? Autumn, really? I think you ought to marry a preacher. And give them all those outlines like your mommy gives your daddies. You've been trained well. By the way,
You kids have grown up in a Christian home. Your grandparents and your mom and daddy were saved, and you've been brought up on the Word of God. You were in a fundamental church. You were the screaming fat boy named preacher, and you heard it. You're responsible for what you heard. Don't you get old on me and just, well, I'm grown up, I'm going to leave the church now. I'm going to do my own thing. No, you just stay and keep doing the same thing you've been doing. You just do it for Christ. Hello? We need to be, Bethel, I'm all done. But we need some people in this church today. God, what do you want me to do? You want me to be a missionary? You want me to just help support? Listen, I want to be a missionary, Josh. I beg God, I'll go any country you want me to go. He never sent me, Marty. He never sent me. But I'll tell you what he did do with me. He put a heart in for missions. When I first came here, you had about 20 missionaries, Eddie. 15. And boy, we just kept adding up, remember that? And then we hit 100, and then we went over 100. And then we hit a recession. We're back. I think we're back about 80. I think we got around 88 right now. But I'd like to have 150. I'd love to see some of our boys grow up in this church. I'd love to see someone come up one day crying, oh, God's called me to be a missionary. Wouldn't that be exciting if God called some of our kids? I'm going to tell you, there's no, Carl, there's no more Bob Bevingtons. We're all silver hair. And there's not, and Bob will tell you, there's not many young, Johnny, the young kids, there's not many young kids running for the missions. They're not. They're too busy with their own lives. They don't have a focus on for Christ and for eternity. See, what preacher's talking about is eternity. It might be boring you today, but I'm talking about something that's going to last for eternity. Man, I remember I was young, and now I'm not real old, but I'm old. And Mike, here's how fast it was. How old are you, son? 14, 15? 14. I remember when I was 14. I was thinking about it, and I'm almost done. Let me carry. When you get old, you carry on stuff. Do you know what was going through my mind today, and when I was sitting in there before I preached? I thought about me when I was 14. I was thinking about Lance, and I thought, boy, Mike, you might remember. Some of you got my age. Back in when preacher was in grade school, there was a fad called madress, I think. Madress. I remember I was wearing orange pants and shirts with about 50 different colors, man. Whoa. And I got pictures of them. I said, man, there ain't no way. Look, I saw a picture of you, Eddie. That was bad. That was remember the bell bottoms? Remember we used to wear those bell. I got you, babe. Sonny and Cher, how many with me? Remember I wore those bell bottoms. What a knucklehead. So don't worry, kid, you'll be all right. Just got to grow up a little more. Now listen to me. I remember those days, preacher. I do. And now look at me, silver hair, fighting to live, fighting to get my hands back and stuff. It happens that fast. Don't let your youth flee without doing something for Christ. Because I'm telling you, the Bible says, life is but a vapor. I think you kids ought to get married. I mean that. Don't keep putting it off. We ain't got that much time. Number one, the rapture. Number two, you're getting older. She don't want to draw widow's things before you get married.
Oh, wow.
Listen to me. Aren't you glad preacher does stuff like that? Listen. What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do for missions? If you're not a missionary, you could still give to missions. You could still pray for missions. Hello? Maybe sometime we could take mission trips to different countries to help those missionaries on the field. Amen? Missions. This week we're going to challenge you for missions. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ. will last. Someone around the world is waiting to hear the gospel. Millions around the world are lost and need to hear about Jesus so they can get help to go to heaven. I quote this and I'm done. Isaiah 6:8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I. Send me." I hope you have that in your heart. God, what can I do for missions? What can I do for some lost person that will never hear the gospel unless I do? There, someone in Africa right now is counting on us. Someone in Russia, someone in Albania, someone in Moldova are counting on us. Will you be there to help? Whatever you do helps. Heavenly Father, I pray there'll be a lot of people's hearts to say, "Here am I, send me. I'll bring the money. I'll bring the prayers. Lord, I'll even bring my feet. I'll go to those foreign lands." Lord, we need to care about what's closest to your heart. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave it all for the world. Missions is a world project that we need to care about. God, I pray you'll bless my young people and that you'll instill in their heart a service for you throughout all their life. And they'll never turn back into the darkness. I pray for the older folks here that we'll stay with, keep the torch lit and keep going forward, keeping the Word of God going out. Help us to be examples to the younger. And Lord, bless us this coming Wednesday with Brother Robbie Morrison, Lord. I pray that you'll use him to speak to our hearts about the importance of missions and faith-promised missions and getting the Word of God to the whole lost world. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to stand up.